when we know better, we do better. Why do some people do the right thing and other people struggle? I think that you come to different levels of insight of what that is. I was mugged at knife point in third grade. I was shot at by the time I was 11. There's, you know, things going on. I'm trying to get to school and riding in between the subway cars to make it on time. There would be fears of being molested on those subway cars. You know, like, there's stuff that you don't think about necessarily if you grow up in a different environment. What I grew up in was a very powerful sense of what was the currency of value in the neighborhood. And that was, if you give your word, do you stand by it? The next step is the big step, right? The next step is the big step.
It's the step, right?
It's everything, because it is the stream continuing to run. But do you love the thing you're doing? Because at the end of the day, you're going to be the one sculpting that wood.
Welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This week's guest is an elite performance coach that loves making people grow. I had such a great time with John, and he told me about how he, as an unhappy, disconnected kid, for no apparent reason, wandered into a Buddhist temple on 106th Street in New York City. He found a Japanese sensei who taught him life lessons through jiu-jitsu and martial arts. That catapulted his life as an athlete, but also exploring what is performance and how do you work with that? How do you overcome depression? And how do you create a life where you are proud of yourself and really, really love what you do? So kick back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Welcome, John.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a wonderful thing you're doing.
Yeah, it's been hard reaching you. So you're a hard guy to get. So I'm so excited for today. No pressure. And let's just start with John Geiger. Who are you really as a person?
Oh boy. we start out with the Zen.
Yeah.
Who am I as a person? Well, I try to be my father's son, in the sense that he was the sweetest, most nurturing and decent person I've ever known. And so there was so much that I saw modeled in how he went through the world that I tried to do my best to have inform me, and I tried to work towards, as far as he would finish every conversation with me by saying, "Do the right thing, Jono." And I always loved that that thought. So I try to be, I think I'm a fairly empathetic person. And I think that I'm a pretty transparent person. And that's where it all starts for me. Everything else is a matter of trying to work hard and trying to live up to. I don't know.
What do you think? I like what you said about your father and doing the right thing. Why do you think for some people it's so easy to do the right thing, and for others it's the opposite? Every time it's the wrong thing.
Well, you know, I'm a sucker for biographies and documentaries, because it's the easiest way to have the thought that you didn't come up with, that you didn't realize was out there, is get in somebody else's head, get in somebody else's life, get into chapter 5 of their story when they didn't know that it would all work out for them. And so any quotes that you hear from me or things of that nature are coming from a place of just something I was fortunate enough to come across, and it pops into my mind. So in this case, I think of something that I heard Maya Angelou say at one point, which was, when we know better, we do better. Why do some people do the right thing and other people struggle? I think that you come to different levels of insight of what that is over time, over experience, over a period of contrast where you see, oh, there was an option to behave a different way or to go about something in a different way or to think of others, not just your own agenda. You know, we're in Los Angeles and there's a mixture of a caricature about this place and reality, which is always, fights caricature, right? It dilutes it a little bit. But the caricature is superficial, agenda-driven. You know, these are some of the negative characteristics that people think of. Of course, it's much broader than that, as we see with what you're doing. But as there's an awareness of community, that we make our own community, and there's a love for that, that this is a great thing, that we can lift the community that we are a part of, and then we can feed off of one another, we start learning what that right thing can be far broader than what we ever imagined before. I think that it has to do with modeling behavior to others or following other people's models that are there for you.
It's so interesting to talk about these things, and that's why I love having this conversation. And we just started, so I'm so excited for today. But let's just go back a little bit and talk about John Geiger growing up in New York City. Mm. Can you just talk about that? How was your childhood there, and what led you to walk into that Buddhist temple on 106th Street when you were 11?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. This is my perception looking back of what I grew up in now, right? Yeah. We're talking about contrast, right? So looking back, here's what I grew up in and out of. I had immigrant parents, and I was growing up uptown in New York City. It was an era that was not the current state of New York. It was like when you watch a movie like Dog Day Afternoon or Serpico or Mean Streets. The movie Warriors was being filmed in my neighborhood when I was growing up. And even though that was kind of, you know, a funny take on things, but it was a very real sense of constant high stakes, intensity, survival on a lot of levels. And because my parents had not grown up in that environment, there was not necessarily the understanding of what happened when I left the apartment, what I was walking out into a world of. And so there was this dichotomy. I would come home and there was a polite household, a well-read household, a cultured household, an artistic household, all of these things, very nice people. And I walked out into the New York City streets, 70s and 80s, and I was mugged at knife point in third grade. I was shot at by the time I was 11. There's, you know, things going on. I'm trying to get to school and riding in between the subway cars to make it on time. There would be fears of being molested on those subway cars. You know, like there was stuff that you don't think about necessarily if you grow up in a different environment. So there was always that intensity that was necessary because it was, you better dial your game up to be able to anticipate situations, diffuse them, read them, all of this stuff going on all the time.
Uptown New York, was that a dangerous area at that time?
Well, there are about 1,000 dangerous areas at the time, but I was growing up on,
it's a part of life. Life is like a roller coaster. No matter if we talk with Michael Jordan, John Geiger, Peter Jimrokowski, or a homeless person on the beach, everybody has ups and downs, right? Everybody has depression sometimes. But we can learn to cope with it. And I love what you said, to be able to try to go out there. And that's sometimes very hard, because when you're sad, because we are ashamed of showing it a lot of times. And that makes us even more inside of ourselves, which make us sink even more. But we got to find that little strength to go out, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else, you know. Well, first of all, that's why I've found so much in biographies and documentaries, because you mentioned like a Michael Jordan or whatever. Like, there's so much marketing out there, and it also feels good to show the success, right? But a biography or a documentary shows you chapter five, when, you know, why do people love J.K. Rowling's story? Because she was, I believe, forgive me if I got this wrong, but she was pretty broke, she was divorced, she was depressed, she had her manuscripts rejected, and then Harry Potter happens, right? So like, and you can find for every one of these people, the Churchill, you know, Churchill was out of politics, he was a joke, you know, before his biggest moment. All of these people, and that's why these stories are heroic. And you find out in the biography and in the documentary, and here's the thing that's so powerful, they're just like me. When you see a Churchill who doesn't believe in himself, when you see somebody who is struggling, whether they're a musician or whether they're an engineer or whether whatever, you know, these things become trite cliches like, oh yeah, Edison, you know, had 1,000 of failures before the light bulb. Yeah, but let me see a snapshot of somebody who doesn't know it's going to all work out, but we know now that person is going to be like the title of chapters in books. And so those biographies or documentaries, what's so powerful, it's like you can play dress up in those moments of pain as that person in chapter five. Like, I don't know how the Joe Smith story ends, but if I'm Joe Smith and I pretend I'm in chapter five of the Joe Smith, the autobiography, right? And I'm in chapter five, and Joe is struggling. He's struggling with depression. He, you know, his girlfriend has left him. He can't get a break. He doesn't know how he's going to make rent. And we already know that we're reading the Joe Smith autobiography. So it must have turned around, because there's a book about him. So if you picture yourself in chapter five of your book, you know, it flips it to a feeling of like, okay, I'm in this jam. But you know who else was in this jam? Churchill was in this jam. J.K. Rowling was in this jam. You know, Al Pacino was a janitor. Like, I mean, like, we're talking about people who didn't know that they would become this name. They knew that their version of that name was a Marlon Brando. But they weren't, you know, they're scrubbing toilets. So what I'm saying is, you gotta know. And the way that helps you know is by find out about others who were at your stage and it didn't last forever, right? It became a different stage. And so you're, again, not alone in this experience. You're not alone.
Yeah, it's incredible. And sometimes when we're on a journey and want to accomplish something, it's so easy to feel like it's so far away. And sometimes when we think about this goal or dream we have and it's so far away, it's easy to just walk away or go another direction. But what I've learned from all the people I've met, and also by all the autobiographies and what you're talking about, is the only thing we need to do is take that next little step.
That is huge. And I'll tell you what, me too. You know, me the same as everybody listening and everybody who's not listening. Yeah. I mean, I have my dreams. I always have. There's always those times that come up where you go, I don't even know what the next step is. Yeah. And you also can't help but wonder, is there a time deadline? You know, it's not helped by the fact that maybe at early points in life, we think that by this point in time in the future, I'm going to have this and this and this and be this and this and this. And then you get to that point in time, it's like, oh, crap, I'm not X, Y, or Z. I don't have A, B, or C. Where am I? You know, compared to that fictional picture I had that also included in it the mistaken assumption that if I was not at that place at that time, I failed life. You know, gotta repeat third grade, you know. Yeah. So that next step is something that is so easy for me to say to you, for you to say to me, for someone else to say to us, for us to say to anyone else. But it is a world for the person on the hearing end of that to find a way to believe, like, and then what? You know, like, is there something that's really going to come of it? I've been so, like, because our disappointments can be so discouraging, is not a strong enough word, disheartening. And so, yes, but the truth of the matter is, there's a Japanese expression I always love, and I try to remember it, but it's the water wears away the rock, not by force, but by constant falling. The water wears away the rock, not by force, but by constant falling. So how does that erosion happen? It can only happen through the constancy of a trickling stream. So if we look at what you said as applying that in our life, the next step is the big step, right? The next step is the big step.
It's the step, right?
It's everything, because it is the stream continuing to run. And so you must take the next step, and that has to be the only thing that you care about ultimately. That's the hardest thing. It's hard for me too. But, you know, this whole thing about detachment to the outcome feels like such a big thing to learn. If we've grown up where we've grown up, we have our goals. The more intensely we feel passion for our goals, the more we want the outcome. We want to get there. So, but if you actually reframe it and think from time to time that the way I get to the outcome is this step. And this step is in the dark, and maybe it's just two more of these to get to that big outcome. Maybe it's not 70,000 more steps. Most people who give up on their dreams, it's an amazing thing if we could see in the cosmic picture, if we had, you know, God's view, how close they were when they gave up. You know, it's like, oh man, Maury, the call was going to come tomorrow. Yeah. You know, so it's like, you know, so that's why, to me anyway, the thing that I have to have sustain me, it has to come back to the love for the dream. Yeah. Like, if you love certain kinds of music and you make music, you have to come back to your love for that being the thing that gives you the joy. If you love working on cars, you got to come back to, man, I'm, you know, like, I might not be in the pits at the Indy 500 right now, but, you know, but who knows? Maybe if I was in the pits at the Indy 500, I'd dream of the day that I got back to my little shop.
I totally agree with you. It's so interesting because I think it's so important to take your life seriously, because we only have one, as we know. So, of course, have fun, do all these crazy things. But when you do what you love, invest in it. Don't do it half-ass or half-heartedly. Mm-hmm. Go all in. Our time has went so fast, John. We're out of time.
I'm not done.
I know. we have to continue this. It's incredible. But I want to leave all these people listening with just all these seeds we've planted today. And I'm all about sharing ideas, sharing journeys, but what I really want to do is to have the listeners do something with their own life. And that's why I'm going to ask you one last question. And that is, when they're done listening to this, what can they do to move just a little bit closer to their dream right now? What would be the first step?
Well, first of all, feel a sense of pride for being someone with a quest. I mean, form it in those. When we see movies or read books, one of my favorite books in ninth grade, it was La Morte d'Arthur. La Morte d'Arthur, Sir Thomas Malory, the original version of the King Arthur stories, okay? The reason why it was beautiful was the knights were not perfect. They're struggling, they have human frailties, and yet they move forward, like we're talking about. If you can frame your life, when we get done here and you go, oh my God, I'm so glad that guy stopped talking. I can now hear myself think. You know, when you get done, think about your quest and put yourself in that category of all the amazing people that you look up to who had this same shared quest that they also didn't know, how the heck am I gonna make this work? And you get out there and you go, all right, I don't know what the next step is, but if I don't know what the next step is, maybe I'll learn to meditate and see if that'll help clear some of the junk that'll allow the next step to come to me. If I'm depressed, maybe I'll go explore some spiritual support or see if I can find some people who are also going through it so I feel less alone. Maybe think about the thing that you have passion for, and this always works for me. Go back to everyone remembers what were the seeds of the first moment where you went, oh, I gotta do that. If you were 11 years old and you saw a musical on Broadway and you went, I gotta do that. Or if you're 15 years old and you hear Eric Clapton or B.B. King and you go, I gotta play that. Or you see some special about some doctor who's actually, you know, got a medical clinic in Guyana. And you go, I wanna do that. And you go back to rediscover that first moment where you weren't thinking of all the obstacles, of all the day-to-day stuff, of all the challenges, you just saw the dream. Remember, reconnect to that and forget all the other stuff and just go and connect with that and think, okay, I am reinvigorated by knowing that this is what I want my life to be about. I'm going to make one action today that either connects me to it or helps me experience it from someone else, watching a movie of it, reading a biography about it, picking up my instrument, you know, whatever it happens to be, or making a call to somebody that I've been too scared to call and say, I want to move forward on this thing that I've been putting off because I was insecure and I want to move forward.
Yeah. Boom. Mic drop. John Geiger, my absolute pleasure to finally have you here. You're hard to get, but once you're here, you're really bringing it. Thank you so much.
I am so appreciative being here, and I want to push back on the hard to get a hold of, in case anybody out there wants to get a hold of me. I respond. And so if you email me, if you pick up the phone, I got time for everyone. You know, I'm grateful for everyone who picked up the phone or answered an email for me. And all I want to do is pay it forward for everybody else. I'm grateful to have an opportunity to be here. I hope that in some way, maybe I had a positive impact or can be there to help somebody else along their journey.
I'm certain you are doing that, and you did it today. And if you guys liked what you heard, make sure to share this podcast with friends, family. Make sure to give us 5 stars, subscribe, and help us building this community of helping 10 million people. John can't do it himself. I can't do it to self, but together we can do this. Thank you, everybody. You know what the next step is, so go out and do it and don't wait. Thank you, guys.
And you can find me on geigersnolimits.com. My contact information is there, geigersnolimits. www.thebetterhumanbeing.com. And I hope you all are about to get started in your next step of your dreams.
Thank you.